Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we go over NFL ratings that are collapsing. We go over two police officers that were targeted in the streets and are fighting for their lives. The people versus Donald Trump. Is the left going to try to put Donald Trump in prison post-presidency? It's a little bit more scary than you might think. And also, why do Democrats keep on deleting all the evidence that might ever hold them accountable? That and so much more. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. Every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar by an anonymous and generous listener of ours, up to $25,000. So please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, as always, at freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. Screenshot it and email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
So who actually watched football this last weekend? Full disclosure, I love football. I am saddened, frustrated, and upset beyond words that half of college football is playing and the other half is not playing. So I decided to say, I'm going to watch a little bit of football, just a little bit, see if they're going to be overly political. I'm going to give them 10 or 15 minutes and we'll see what happens. I turned on the Cincinnati Bengals LA Chargers game. I am a big Joe Burrow fan. I think he's probably going to be one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. And within a couple of minutes, I had to hear the commentator talk about how the NFL is taking a stand for social justice and racial justice. And I said, that's it. I'm done. The ratings reflect my exact reaction. NFL ratings have collapsed on opening week. This is from The Independent. Quote, the first weekend of the NFL was marked by widespread social justice activism as a lack of fan interest led to a near ratings collapse. More than 4 years after Colin Kaepernick became better known for bending his knee than his elbow, players across the league knelt, linked arms, or remained in their locker rooms during the national anthem. Several players from the Carolina Panthers, Baltimore Ravens, Seattle Seahawks, Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, and Minnesota Vikings kneeled during the national anthem. So I received a text from a friend of mine from the Midwest, a huge Bears fan. And if you guys are from Chicago or you know anything about Chicago, there's nothing quite like Bears football. It shuts down the entire town. Everyone is listening to Jeff Joniak on radio. Everyone is watching the Bears. It is the day the earth stood still in Chicago. It is the most important thing, more important than the Cubs, more important than the Blackhawks, Bears football, everything stands still. So I got this text from a friend of mine in Chicago who is center-right, but I wouldn't consider to be overly political. Quote, so I was skeptical about watching the Bears game, but my research confirmed that there would not be any political statements written on the field, no BLM Inc. logos, you must listen to this podcast, etc. I was aware pregame players would exercise their free speech or lock arms. I told myself I can try and live with that once there was an opening kickoff. I would be open-minded and root for my Bears as long as there was no politics on my screen. Shortly before halftime, a message appeared in the end zone. It wasn't there before, so it was a computer overlaying it onto the screen. Just two words. End racism. I'm sure most people didn't give it a second thought, but high information, conservative voters understand that a subtle or not so subtle message that we must live in a systemically racist country, which is not true, so support BLM and vote for Biden because Trump is racist. And I'm sure there was plenty of BLM incorporated leftist pressure put on the NFL, so the league was forced to appease these mafia political thugs. Fighting words. If the purpose was to proclaim causes that the NFL thought they have an obligation to shed on, such as end anti-Semitism or end child abuse or end starvation, then I would not be upset. If these biased political messages don't bother others, then that's fine. I respect other people's First Amendment opinions, so go knock yourself out. But for now, I'm knocking myself out of the den, taking my Bears sweat jacket off and turning the game off. I got two words for the NFL. I'm out. I still love the Bears and hope to put my sweat jacket back on one day, but I love my country more. I've been getting messages like this from all across the country. And this one friend of mine in the suburbs of Chicago is an obsessed Bears fan. He watches every single play. He watches every single movement. He monitors the message boards for the latest trades and who's the starting quarterback is going to be. And guess what? The Bears actually won in a surprise fashion, as I was told. I didn't watch the game. There's millions of people that are so upset with the over-politicized nature of sports, where actually a lot of people watch sports as a way to escape politics. Like myself, I used to watch football as a way to say, okay, I do politics 6 days a week. I can sit down, watch football, look at the plays, try to predict what's happening next, see athletes in their highest possible performance capacity. Now, I have to watch politics while I watch football. I don't want that. It just makes me more upset, more angry, and I'm done. NFL, no more. The Jaguars said in a statement that they would stay in the locker room to raise awareness of racial injustice. Now, let's just do a quick reminder here. Every single one of these black athletes that are playing for the NFL, they're all millionaires. So how oppressive of a country are we if every single one of you are earning more money than the people that are watching you? It would be one thing if you weren't being paid anything, if you guys were doing this in a volunteer capacity, or you lived in a Marxist totalitarian country. No, every single one of you are saying, we're really oppressed, while after they protest, take a knee, say how awful of a country we live in, go into their Maseratis, their Rolls Royces, and their Bentleys to their $10 million homes, and then tweet out solidarity for BLM Inc., saying that don't you understand how awful of a country we live in? You are the ruling class. It's actually possible for someone that has athletic predisposition to make millions of dollars. Congratulations. The Miami Dolphins, the Green Bay Packers, Cleveland Browns, Philadelphia Eagles, and New York Jets also stayed in their locker rooms. Specifically, the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns game on Sunday, all but two players stood for the playing of the Lift Every Voices and Sing, which has been called the Black National Anthem. Let's just be very clear. There is no such thing as the Black National Anthem. This is the left trying to return us back to tribal groups. And I'm going to be very honest. I am very optimistic and very pessimistic simultaneously. It's almost, I have this conflict going on. I'm pessimistic because I don't feel as if this should be tolerated by anyone at all. However, I'm optimistic because there's a ratings collapse. Now, BLM Incorporated is taking America's race relations back 60 years. Could you imagine the outrage if we said, you know what, we need a white national anthem? Oh my goodness. That would be evil. That would be wrong. That would be immoral. That's how I feel about a black national anthem. This is exactly how it happens, everybody. The hyphenating of America. They do not believe in what is on our presidential seal, which is the phrase E pluribus unum. It's a Latin phrase that means out of many, one. They mean in divide and conquer. They believe in turning people against each other. Now, here's why I'm optimistic. The ratings are down. Viewership was down 12.3% from 2019. It should be down a lot more than that. Down nearly 3 million viewers for the kickoff game and basically tying 2018 for the lowest since 2009. Frankly, the drop should be a lot more, as I've mentioned. More people should boycott the NFL. And Sunday Night Football was hit even harder. Good. Sunday Night Football had only 14.8 million viewers last night compared to last year's opening, which had 22 million viewers. That's a 28% collapse. Now, in its launch announcement, the NFL said its social justice campaign, quote, leverages the scale and power of the league to unite the country during a critical time, end quote, and that they are committed to integrating causes like social justice throughout the season. Roger Goodell, who is the worst commissioner in the history of organized sports and in the history of anything that matters, this is Roger Goodell who is pushing this, who of course makes $40 million a year. He signed a five-year extension in 2017 worth $200 million for running one of the most important brands into the ground. I will not be watching, and I encourage you to do the same. And so many of you are sending me emails saying that you are also not watching. College football is a little bit more watchable. And by the way, I actually have a little bit more leniency for college athletes. They are actually in college, so they're still maturing. They're around indoctrination all the time. Yet, for some really bizarre reason, the unpaid college athletes that are around left-wing indoctrination, they're actually less likely to indulge and engage in some of this incredibly racist rhetoric and activism that is being pushed by BLM Incorporated. I watched Clemson absolutely run circles around Wake Forest. They had a couple parts about racial justice and social justice, but I have a little bit, again, I have a little bit more leniency and flexibility for college athletes. They're not driving around in Bentleys and Rolls Royces and being paid millions of dollars. And if they are, then they should probably disclose that because they would be breaking the law. However, the NFL, I mean, these people have signed seven-figure contracts. They're living very successful lives. They're living in the 1% of the 1%, and they're trying to communicate to us about how awful our country is. It's not systemically racist if the NFL is now a majority black athletes that are all millionaires. And also the NBA is even more political than the NFL. The NBA is completely and totally unwatchable. On their court, it literally says Black Lives Matter. And so Ben Shapiro, I think, says it best, where the phrase Black Lives Matter is a semantic overload. It can mean three different things simultaneously. A phrase that is true, it can be about a rallying cry for a Marxist movement, and it also can be describing an organization. And so while the phrase is, of course, true, the phrase also does not add nuance that all lives matter. And if you dare say that, then all of a sudden you lose your position as a color commentator at the Sacramento Kings or anywhere across the athletic landscape or in the corporate world. And so there are other sports to watch, by the way. NHL, UFC, and yes, SEC football. The SEC, they're all standing. They're honoring the flag. I can tolerate that. And Dana White deserves our credit. I want to give credit to Tyler Eifert, or Effort. I might be mispronouncing his name. Tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He tweeted, "Great win to start the season. Love being a part of this new team and community. It was an honor wearing David Dorn's name on my helmet today." Just a little prediction here. He's going to probably have to backtrack this. David Dorn, of course, the black police officer who was murdered by a Black Lives Matter BLM incorporated thug for defending a convenience store. David Dorn, of course, is an American hero. And by the way, I encourage everyone to go buy Tyler Eifert's jersey today. Tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He played for Notre Dame. I actually remember watching him play. He was a great athlete. I encourage you to check it out. There's a big problem out there. Our heroes, first responders, they have a tough job to do. And they also have to pay out of pocket for their own gear that they need to do their job. EMS, police, fire, medical workers on the front lines, and even military units deal with constrained budgets and outdated gear. But there's still a job to do, and you need the gear to do it. Hunting for military and first responder discounts has historically required going from one website to another, creating multiple accounts, logins to make purchases, and jumping through various hoops to verify your source. Don't you wish there was one place you could visit that had a carefully crafted selection of deals for military and first responders in one spot? Where there is. It's called GovX. GovX works directly with brands to negotiate the best prices possible because you deserve the gear you need at the prices you've earned. Plus, you can trust that the gear you're ordering is 100% authentic, direct from the manufacturer. A huge collection of gear and apparel from popular brands all in one convenient location. GovX honors your service and gives back to your communities. If you're an American of service, a current or former member of the military, firefighting, frontline medical, or law enforcement communities, or the emergency medical, join GovX for free and enjoy a community that honors and gives back to patriots like you. So right now, you guys go to GovX.com, GovX.com, use the promo code Kirk, $15 off your first orders of $50 or more. Use the promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K. So please go to GovX.com, use the promo code Kirk. Now, speaking of cops being shot, and speaking of what's actually happening in our country, there were two L.A. County deputies that are in stable condition right now after being shot in Compton, and the search for the gunman continues. This is from the local ABC affiliates in Los Angeles. Quote, two Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department deputies were shot at a metro station in Compton Saturday evening. One of the deputies, only identified as 31-year-old mother of a 6-year-old boy, was shot in the jaw and arms but is in stable condition. Alex Villanueva, who's a sheriff, said, quote, she helped the other wounded deputy, got on the radio, provided medical care, got him to a place of safety because they didn't know if there was another attack coming their way. The other deputy, a 24-year-old man, was struck by gunfire in the forehead, an arm, and a hand. He is described as alert, praise God. The search continues Sunday for the gunman. The footage of the ambush was released, and if you have seen it, it is so incredibly hard to watch. It proves that this attack was unprovoked and that they were targeted. Let's play this tape for those of you that are watching on YouTube. Play tape. Let's also pull up the image of the woman who was bloodied. It's hard to even watch. This 31-year-old officer deserves the Medal of Freedom from the President of the United States. The most despicable thing to come out of this entire tragedy is some of the reaction of BLM Inc. activists and protesters who gathered outside of St. Francis Medical Center in Lynnwood, where these injured police officers were fighting for their life. A crowd gathered outside while they were fighting for their life. And they started to shout anti-law enforcement slogans and at one point tried to get inside of the hospital. So BLM, organizing outside of the hospital, started to chant, "I hope you effing die," and "death to the police." One Instagram user, Bino_the Great, who apparently witnessed the shooting, posted a haunting and really disgusting video. I'm going to play a clip of it for you here, and I want you to see and hear for yourself what BLM Inc. depravity is really like. Play tape.
God, this. Just aired the police out. They just aired the police out.
This the only
it go up and come. Them just got aired out, cuz. They just bust on them, cuz. That's crazy. Damn. Oh, it goes down in Compton. Oh, they just got bust on. That nigga on a knee. Damn. Police just got aired out. They just got bust on. They just got aired out. They just got aired out. It's going up. Somebody bust on their ass.
Yeah. Two shares down.
Somebody bust on the police. Damn.
They respond.
Oh, two sheriffs shot in the face. Two sheriffs shot in the face. They tripping. It's going up in Compton. Bust on the police. They just got aired out. Somebody ran up on the car and bust on their ass right through the window in the face and on. It's a wrap.
Two cops were just shot in cold blood. And that is his reaction. This is the movement that BLM Incorporated is growing. This is the movement that many of your pastors are supporting. This is the movement that your companies are funding. This is the movement that our corporations is pandering to. This is the movement that your children in public schools and most private schools is learning to embrace. This is what the NFL, the NBA, and LeBron James are supporting. LeBron James continues to support BLM Inc., yet mentions nothing when two police officers are targeted for murder in the streets. This is exactly what happens when you support revolutionary Marxists who want to burn down the entire system and start a race war in our country. This is Jussie Smollett's vision happening in real time. Jussie Smollett wanted a race war. That's why he faked a race hate crime in Chicago. Now we are seeing that play out in real time. Now, Eric Garcetti and Joe Biden might come out and condemn the shooting now. But where were they in May when this whole thing started? They were promoting it. It was Joe Biden and his campaign that donated to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which bailed out terrorists, thugs, and criminals who were burning down the streets of Minnesota. The only reason why Democrats are now hedging on this issue is because Don Lemon pointed to the polls and said, "Hey, this race is now within the margin of error because we have been pandering to BLM Inc." And so LeBron James and the NBA and NFL and all of the corporations that we mentioned in Corporations versus America that we talked about last week are all in lockstep to support BLM Inc. And BLM Inc. wishes for the death for police officers outside of a hospital where they are fighting for their life. BLM Inc. encourages looting, as we saw with the Chicago leader of BLM Inc., who thinks that looting and rioting is a form of reparations. Let's play tape of that. Play tape.
I care if somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike, because that makes sure that that person eats. That makes sure that that person has clothes. That's reparations. That is reparations. Anything they want to take, take it, because these businesses have insurance. They're going to get their money back. My people aren't getting anything.
BLM Inc. is getting nonstop corporate funding, hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars from the biggest corporations in our country. And so when it actually materializes in cops getting gunned down in the street or Trump supporters getting murdered in Portland, Oregon, it shouldn't surprise anybody. This is from Business Insider. Democrats are increasingly worried Trump's law and order message is resonating with swing state voters. This entire thing is nothing more than a political retreat on behalf of Joe Biden and the Democrat Party. The American people in middle America, at least 60% of them, they don't like it when their police officers are being targeted for murder in the streets of our country. And what's so upsetting about this is that so many of these police forces are minority-majority police forces. They're black and Hispanic leaders that are being targeted for doing their job. So we pray for these two police officers to have a quick recovery. But complete and total silence from LeBron James and the National Basketball Association that continues to put forth the slogan of the organization that wishes death for these police officers, that rallied outside of the hospital as these police officers were fighting for their life. Think about that. These police officers were just shot in the jaw and the forehead, and they have to listen through the window as they're barely able to breathe and barely able to have consciousness. They have to listen to the yelling and the screaming of activists that say, "I hope you die." How is this not the biggest story in our country? And if you haven't heard about this, please reconsider where you get your news from, because the activist media has no concern at all whatsoever for the public targeting and attempted assassination of our law enforcement officers. And I will say, because of the work that we are doing on this program, and you make it possible when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support, BLM Inc. has dropped another 9 points in favorability, including a 13-point dip amongst Republicans, according to a new Politico Morning Consult poll. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of all the different cars, it's so impossible to stock all the parts you ever need. If you guys ever go to try to get the parts you need, you're probably very intimidated talking to the person. You don't know the parts. They sometimes charge too much. You might have a Fiat. You might have a Kia, Pacifica, or XT5. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. But guess what? That's why you have Rock Auto. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than the changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is a family business. They serve auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your new classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So right now, go to rockauto.com, use the podcast name Charlie Kirk. They have amazing selections, reliably low prices, and you know it, all the parts you ever need, rockauto.com. That's rockauto.com, all the parts you ever need, rockauto.com. So what would happen if you deleted evidence that was necessary to do a criminal investigation? Democrats have a deep pattern of deletion. This is one of the most frustrating stories that I have to talk about, because it is so outrageous how Democrats believe they are above the law and they just get away with blatant crimes. A Judicial Watch FOIA request uncovered a not very surprising twist in the Mueller Russian collusion witch hunt. This is from the Judicial Watch press release on Friday. Quote, in a table that appears to be a tabulation of the special counsel office review of phones used by Bob Mueller's team for record preservation purposes, 27 phones were reported wiped clean of all data prior to review having taken place. 20 phones were reported wiped of data due to an accidental wipe. The excuse that they gave is because someone entered the password incorrectly too many times. 2 phones were reported wiped after being placed in airplane mode, from which they could not be unlocked because the password was forgotten, including the phones of Andrew Weissman and 2 deputies of Mueller, Kyle Freeney and Rush Atkinson. 1 phone was wiped clean without explanation, and there are no records of Bob Mueller's phone ever being reviewed. And of course, these people can't remember their phone passwords. They're just lying. They lie because they know of something. They have something to hide. Now, if you followed the left like I have very intimately for the last 8 years, last decade, you know that this is a pattern. The Democrats engage in blatant and outright targeting of Americans that they don't agree with, the manipulation of our judicial system, and the deletion of the evidence that can ever show that they were doing this. Here's a little refresher. Hillary Clinton destroyed phones with hammers and wiped her email server, phones that were under criminal subpoena. Do you remember Lois Lerner? Lois Lerner ran the IRS targeting scandal that targeted conservative Christian Tea Party groups under Barack Obama. When House Republicans started to look into it, she lost 24,000 emails. And now Bob Mueller and his team accidentally wiped 31 phones before an investigation. Look, let's just be very clear here. No one accidentally wipes their phones, especially 27 to 31 different phones, and cross an entire investigation that was mired in secrecy and partisan rancor from the start. This was no accident. But again, it's not surprising. They wiped 24,000 emails from the IRS. And of course, they also wiped email communications when it came to Benghazi and the entire Obama administration. And while some think this is kind of funny in the activist media, and honestly, the ruling class, they just think we're too stupid or too dumb not to care. The ruling class has such contempt for you. The ruling class has such contempt for the rule of law that they know they'll get away with it, and they probably will. According to FBI documents, investigators determined a total of 13 devices were associated with Clinton's 2 top phone numbers and personal email domain, 8 of which she used during his tenure as Secretary of State from 2009 to 2013. The FBI requested that all 13 devices be handed over. The Clinton's attorneys informed the FBI that they were unable to locate any of these devices, so the Bureau was unable to examine them. Clinton's top aide, Huma Abedin, former wife of Anthony Weiner, told FBI agents that the whereabouts of Clinton's unwanted devices were frequently become unknown. This is a pattern. It's a cover-up. And this is very predictable because as the Democrats continue to engage in our incredibly fragile judicial system, they're going to continually need to cover up their tracks so that we can't hold them accountable for doing that. Another Clinton aide admitted that, quote, there were 2 instances where he destroyed Clinton's old mobile devices by breaking them in half or hitting them with a hammer. This, of course, is on top of the 33,000 emails that she blatantly deleted, admitted to deleting, by the way, and never apologized for deleting, sticking to the likely lie that they all had to do with yoga classes and her daughter's wedding play tape.
We went through a thorough process to identify all of my work-related emails and deliver them to the State Department. At the end, I chose not to keep my private personal emails, emails about planning Chelsea's wedding or my mother's funeral arrangements, condolence notes to friends, as well as yoga routines, family vacations, the other things you typically find in inboxes.
And when I say she was brazen about what she did, I mean she just doesn't care. And it's just, they get away with it. They will. Hillary's not going to go to jail anytime soon, everybody. It's not happening. I don't want to get your hopes up. The ruling class gets away with what they want because we, the people, let them. When asked about wiping her email server by the press, she responded with, what, like with a cloth? Remember this? Play tape.
You were the official in charge. Did you wipe the server?
What, like with a cloth or something? Well, no. I don't know how it works digitally at all. I do not have any.
Of course, she didn't wipe her email server with a cloth. Her server was wiped away in a very extensive and expensive fashion. It's called bleach binning. And the man who did it was granted immunity by the Obama Department of Justice. Now, according to FBI documents, Mr. Combetta, the executive who wiped the server, told the Bureau back in February 2016 that he did not recall deleting the emails. Right. But in May of 2016, he told a completely different story. In the days after Mrs. Clinton staffers called Platte River Networks, in fact, let's pull up a picture. I actually went there with Don Jr. We actually went outside of Platte River Networks when we were driving by. We found the place where the server was. For those of you watching on YouTube, you can see the picture right here. At Platte River Networks in March 2015, Mr. Combetta said he realized that he had not followed a December 2014 order from Mrs. Clinton's lawyers to have the emails deleted. Mr. Combetta then used a program called BleachBit to delete the messages, the Bureau said. Now, in Mr. Combetta's first interview with the FBI in February, he said he did not recall seeing the preservation order from the Benghazi committee. Right. Don't recall. I don't know my password. The emails are deleted. But in his May interview, he said that at the time he made the decisions that, quote, he was aware of the existence of the preservation request and the fact that it meant he could not disturb Clinton's email data on the Platte River server. But the emails were still gone. They were deleted. And Hillary Clinton continues to this day to get away with it. And she will. She will never go to prison. From Politico, Senator Ron Johnson seeks IG probe of wiped Mueller team phones. Will anything come out of this? Probably not. Of course not. When Republicans investigate things, we do so in agreement with Democrats. We do it very agreeably. We do it very slowly and carefully. We're not going to find anything. The bottom line is this. The left deletes things all the time. They delete evidence. They manipulate evidence. They launched a coup against our president. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. I'm just telling you the truth, that there is a group of ruling class people that run our country. That's why they're called the ruling class. Hillary Clinton is part of it. Lois Lerner was part of it. Barack Obama, Joe Biden. And we say no one is above the law. That is not true. Now, if you're a Republican, they will come after you and they will lock you up in prison if you remotely do anything even in the orbit of unseemly. And you've seen this with Dinesh D'Souza. You see this with Steve Bannon. You see this with Roger Stone. You see this with Paul Manafort. Now, my position is not that they did nothing wrong. I've never said that. My position is that if you look hard enough after any human being in our country, you can find a felony. You can. Read the book Three Felonies a Day. Cicero said it best. Cicero, who was a one-year Roman consul, a best-selling author, really articulated the framework for a lot of Western government. He said it the best. The more laws, the less justice. Perfect. When you have nothing but laws on the books, then the people in charge can find the people that they don't like and find the law and connect the person, like Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who we now have evidence, more than evidence, that he was targeted, and it's a sham trial. Good Ranchers is an amazing product, everybody. Do you guys want meat delivered to your door? Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. Good Ranchers partners directly with only American ranchers across America to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. I've had this meat sent. It's incredible. You guys will love it. It's 100% American-raised beef straight to your door. Beef the way it used to be and the way it should be. Get America's best grass-fed beef finished directly to your door. Don't forget that shipping is always free and the taste is always delicious. GoodRanchers.com, 100% American beef, chicken, and more. Support American ranchers and support the American economy. Skip the grocery store mystery meat, which is disgusting, and buy direct from GoodRanchers.com. It comes straight to your door. So what do? You go to GoodRanchers.com. GoodRanchers.com delivers your favorite meats. Use the promo code Charlie. You save $20 off. If you guys are looking for some barbecue before the weather turns, if you guys are looking for something to really unify the family around, what could be better than beef from the best ranches in America? GoodRanchers.com. T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and more. And home delivery is always free. GoodRanchers.com. Use the promo code Charlie. As you could tell, I'm passionate about it. GoodRanchers.com. if you are a Democrat and you go on television, you say the right things, and you're protected by MSNBC or CNN, you will probably not go to jail. Just look at Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell did something infinitely worse when it came to campaign finance fraud versus Dinesh D'Souza. She falsified names and addresses, and she used names that were not her own. It is an absolute violation of federal law. Rosie O'Donnell, from my understanding, never even investigated, definitely not indicted, gets away with it. Dinesh D'Souza, and he admits to it, wrongly reimbursed somebody for a campaign contribution. Not legal. I don't support it. Happens far too often. Happens on the left. Happens on the right. But Dinesh D'Souza made an entire movie about Hillary Clinton's America in 2016, made an entire movie about Barack Obama called Obama's America. Very outspoken, incredibly articulate. Him is what the Justice Department said. This is why critical race theory is so dangerous. Justice is not blind. It's not. They admit it. They want everything to tie back to the narrative, which means if you rob a store, it matters whether you needed the product or not. So if you're a person of color, we're not going to apply the laws. This is who's been taking over inner cities and our district attorneys. The left's application of law will inevitably lead to chaos. They selectively apply the law based on class, color, and political beliefs. It's not my position, because I don't know all the details of the facts, whether Steve Bannon did what he is accused of. But what makes me angry is that Steve Bannon and his allies in the Build the Wall operation were indicted. And BLM Incorporated has billions of dollars, openly supports terrorism, vocally supports looting, encourages the death of police officers with no address, no phone number, no disclosure on their nonprofit 990s, which we at Turning Point USA have to go through every single year. And we have the press pound us for every single comma on our documents. And yet BLM Incorporated, which is 500 times bigger than Turning Point USA was 3 years ago, when a lot of this criticism just comes out, they get away with it all. Because for the left, they believe everything is not impartial. They believe that it is nothing more than a power struggle. So they look at Charlie Kirk. They look at Sean Hannity. They look at Tucker Carlson as part of the incumbent power class. And we're just doing nothing more than just trying to protect our own incumbent privileges. It's really how they view things. So for them, it's very Machiavellian. Remember, there are three books that I encourage all of you to read, and you guys can go to thinker.org, thinkr.org, and get summaries of all of them. Just go to thinker.org/Charlie. Remember, no E, thinker.org/Charlie. They do a great job. There are three short books that can tell you everything that is going on in America right now, in the country. Number one, Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. We've been through that. Number two, Common Sense by Thomas Paine. And number three, The Prince by Machiavelli. Niccolò Machiavelli. I love his first name. I always love saying his name. Those three books can tell you what the left is trying to achieve. Thomas Paine can tell you how our country was founded and what a revolution actually is and what first principles really mean. That book resonates with me more than the other two, obviously. And The Prince, man, is that an important book? So important. This is where the left gets the ends justify the means. Of course, we're just going to continue to indict people because the system is so broken. It's so imbalanced. We must blow it up. Now, many of you are listening to this and say, well, they're not going to come after me. You're wrong. You're wrong. The left is driven by revenge. The left is not driven by joy or by gratitude. When you are driven by resentment and your entire political movement is about mobilizing those resentments, there's no telling or stopping where that could lead. I saw a piece that was floating around this morning and I just had to read it. It is very graphic and it is incredibly connected to exactly what I was just talking about. It's from New York Magazine. It is one of the most chilling articles. And I want you to read every single word of this piece. It's one of the most important pieces I have read in months. In fact, it's so important that it should create knots in your stomach. It's so important because it should give you clarity and detail of what the left is trying to achieve. This is from New York Magazine. The people versus Donald Trump. The criminal case against him is already in the works and could go to trial sooner than you think. This is by Jeff Wise, and it is paired up with a photo illustration by Joe Darrow, where they Photoshop President Trump's face in an orange jumpsuit that looks awfully, I don't want to say realistic, but it's a very powerful image. We can pull it up here, and it's a disgusting image. I'm not supporting it. I'm just saying it catches your attention. The article goes piece by piece, laying out the criminal case against him that he argues is already in the works. The reporter, it's hard to call him a reporter, it's probably an activist, Jeff Wise writes, quote, "To assess the odds that he will end up on trial and how the proceedings would unfold, I spoke with some of the country's top prosecutors, defense attorneys, and legal scholars. Once he leaves office, they agree there's good reason to think Trump will face criminal charges. Quote, it's going to head towards prosecution and the litigation is going to be fierce, says Bennett Gershman, a professor of constitutional law at Pace Law School, who served for a decade as a New York state prosecutor. This article predicts that Trump will be the first American president to end up behind bars. That's their goal right now. This entire article, in bone-chilling detail, is like, and excuse this imagery, it's like revenge porn for a very twisted mind, is what it is. The article outlines the strategies that are most likely to be used and does so piece by piece. Quote, but federal charges aren't the likeliest way that the people versus Donald Trump will play out. State laws aren't subject to presidential pardons, and they cover a whole host of crimes beyond those committed in the White House. When it comes to charging a former president, state attorney generals and county prosecutors can go places a U.S. attorney can't. According to legal experts, the man most likely to drag President Trump into court is District Attorney for Manhattan, Cyrus Vance Jr. By the way, this is the guy who reduced Jeffrey Epstein's status as a sex offender and didn't prosecute Harvey Weinstein for sexual assault and rape, even though there was very much evidence. But President Trump is his target. The article continues by saying, Vance is investigating, according to court filings, there's an evidence of extensive and protracted criminal conduct at the Trump Organization, potentially involving bank fraud, tax fraud, and insurance fraud. The New York Times has detailed how Trump and his family have long falsified records to avoid taxes, and during testimony before Congress in 2019, Trump's longtime fixer, Michael Cohen, stated that Trump had inflated the value of his assets to obtain a bank loan. Crucially, all of these alleged crimes occurred before Trump took office. That means no claims of executive privilege would apply to any charges Vance might bring, and no presidential pardon can make them go away. I hate to say this, but this is probably a very realistic article. Not because the president actually did anything criminal. That is not my position. I'm going to be very clear. The maniacal, vengeful, and obsessive appetite they have to see President Trump suffer is a very real thing. And it will not stop once he's out of office. If he wins, it eventually could be a death blow, and that could play a very, very big role in actually preventing him from being indicted. But the left has gone to such great lengths to show us that they don't care about the facts of a case to indict somebody. It is actually immaterial to them. They will go to such great lengths, Manafort, Stone, Flynn, Bannon, D'Souza, and you might say, well, Charlie, all those people are bad guys. I'm not getting into that. I'm not making a comment on that. I'm not going to say they're bad people. I'm not. I'm saying that if you weigh up that group of people versus the average Democrat group of people, typically a prosecutor would say, I'm only going to prosecute if the crimes reach a certain threshold because I don't want to over-politicize the DA's office. That's typically how things worked for the last couple decades. I'm not defending that, by the way. I'm not. I am saying when the mountain of crimes up against people in Trump's orbit is getting up into dozens and dozens of dozens, and not crimes, indictments. And when you look at Hillary Clinton and her band and her cartel of very shady actors, where we have evidence that they violated the law, and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and we don't know what Durham's going to do. We don't. But this article right here shows exactly what they're going to do. And for those of you that say, well, it really doesn't impact me, I don't care if Trump goes to prison. Well, first of all, you absolutely should care. Because if we lose, they're going to come after the churches, they're going to come after the organizations, they're going to come after the people, they're going to come after the social media accounts, they're going to come after the bank accounts, they're going to come after every single person that played any form and role into trying to defend President Trump. But social media banning, following in the streets, targeting in every form and fashion. If we lose, if the president loses, they will come for us all. They will come for your children. They will come for your schools. They will come in every fashion. And they won't stop. This idea that the left is all of a sudden going to embrace the Christian ethic of forgiveness and moving on is so short-sighted. You read this article, I have it on charliekirk.com. It shows in such vivid detail that they are going to do whatever it takes to try to personally and intergenerationally destroy Donald Trump. That's how much they hate him. They hate him not because of his tweets, not because of his style. They hate him because now Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are on the Supreme Court. They hate him because the embassy is now in Jerusalem. They hate him because illegal immigration is going down. They hate him because middle-class wages are going up. They hate him because China is now being held accountable. They hate him because we're out of TPP. NAFTA has been renegotiated. They hate him because all of their schemes have been put in jeopardy. All of the plans of the ruling class were obliterated by a man that they don't think should even be invited to a cocktail party, let alone become president of the United States. They're going to come with bloodthirsty revenge. President Trump always says, quote, we will get reelected, not me, us. We, the American people, are intrinsically tied to the president. He's with us. He's for us. I've called him the bodyguard of Western civilization. And boy, is he taking the body blows for us right now. But if they come for him, they're coming for us, and they're also coming for me. You remember that meme that Twitter deleted from his account, a picture of him that says the reality is they're not after me, they're after you, I'm just in the way? I wonder why Twitter didn't want people to see that. Because it's true. This article, The People versus Donald Trump, this is where it's headed. If Donald Trump loses, you can expect every level of power on the tech companies, the criminal side, the investigative side, the mass media side, to try to obliterate us for good. Read it for yourself. It's in the New York Magazine. It shows in great detail that they have the charges waiting, that a trial could start very soon, and indictments could happen in 2021. That's a harsh reality that a lot of people are not willing to accept. One of the things that President Trump didn't do, one of the things that Republicans did, is we moved on after Hillary Clinton lost. She continually said she was the duly elected president, but as you can see, no charges, no moves to investigate her or to criminalize her actions, even though I believe she should have been, because no one is above the law. The left is not like us. Democrats are not decent. They're not reasonable. They are driven pathologically to obliterate anyone that gets in their way or got in their way. The People versus Donald Trump. The criminal case against him is already in the works, and it could go to trial sooner than you think. New York Magazine has it on the front page. If that is not a fire alarm and a wake-up call for every person out there, and you might say, whatever. You prepare to get audited for the next decade? You prepare to get kicked off of social media? And even if you don't bear a cost or a price, it should bother you on a personal level if other people are going to bear that price for you and you do nothing about it. This is a very real thing. The only way to defeat these people is in November. We lose in November, it's going to be bedlam. There's a great quote. It's a French expression attributed to Madame de Pompadour, the lover of King Louis XV of France. It's a quote that is misapplied at times. It says, appelons-nous le déluge, which means after us, the flood. If Trump loses, it's going to be the flood. And it will not be something that we want to live through. It will be bedlam. The People versus Donald Trump. They're saying it. They're stating it very clearly. that if they get power back, they're going to lock him up and they're going to continue until they have absolute pathological power over our country. Please email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you check out my interview with Candace Owens, author of Blackout, phenomenal episode. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Please consider supporting us at Turning Point USA and getting involved at Turning Point USA in the culture war, tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And if you guys want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, screenshot it, and email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless you. Talk to you soon.